to magnify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can we pray right now that God would have his way in this place? Brother Jordan, have your way.
Jesus, we thank you right now for what you're doing in this house. God, we've come here today, God, to gather in your presence. God, not for show. God, not just to fill a Sunday, but God, we came here today to receive something from you. Now, God, we ask you right now, Father, let us take away every inhibition. God, let us put all of our feelings to the side. God, what's happened this past week, this weekend, God, we push it to the side today. Lord, we open up ourselves, God, to receive from you this morning. We thank you, we love you, and we magnify your holy name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. It's such an honor to get to be here with all of you today. I give honor to your pastor and to his family. And being able to see the transition from the old building and to here, it's been quite an incredible thing. And I've always so enjoyed getting to come and be here. And it feels like every time I come that God always speaks something to me before I know I'm coming here. And I stop and I ask God, you know, Lord, who is this for? What's going on? And it wouldn't be any different that that's exactly what happened before Pastor Smith called me. And I want you to know that he is somebody that I trust and somebody that I highly esteem and respect. And you have an incredible first family. And I give them honor this morning. It's such an honor to get to be here with all of you. I began to pray and to ask God what he wanted to do in this house today and what he wanted to speak. And the Lord gave me a passage of Scripture, 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and verse number 1. And it reads, "And David said, Is there yet any left that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And Ziba, when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And I want to preach to you for just a few moments today. Come out of Lodabar. Come out of Lodabar. I felt in the Holy Ghost before I came here this morning like God wanted to do something very special for a few people in this house today. And I want you to know that if you've come in this house with expectancy and you're expecting God to do something for you, that you've come to the right house this morning. You've come to the right place because you're in an apostolic church. And we believe in the apostolic demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I feel like the presence of God is in this place not only to speak to somebody, but to bring somebody out of the place that you've been in for way too long. Maybe there's somebody in this house today. You have come here and you've been asking God to speak something directly to you. I want you to know that you came to the right place this morning because there is power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost in this sanctuary today. Somebody shout amen. And the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's not just freedom, but there's power and anointing and a flow of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to understand this morning. You need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. And if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, it is more incredible than any drug. It's more incredible than any ounce of alcohol. I've come here to preach to you this morning that it's only through the power of the Holy Ghost that everything in your life begins to switch. Something begins to change and something begins to happen in the atmosphere when we begin to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the scripture says at the mention of the name of Jesus,
Jesus, anything can happen. And I've not come here today just to preach to you, but I've come here today that we could experience the power of the name of Jesus Christ this morning. I just feel in this house today like God has prepared somebody to come into this building today, and you're asking yourself, Lord, what do you want to do? And I feel in the Holy Ghost that what God is saying is, I've come that you could experience the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house already, in the name of Jesus. In the book of 2 Samuel, we find that Saul is slain by his own sword. Not only that, but Jonathan is also killed. And King David now inhabits the house of Israel. And we find that Jonathan had a son, and his name was Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was but a very small child. And the Bible says that they heard what had happened to Saul, which was his grandfather. And they heard what had happened to Jonathan, which was his father. And that Mephibosheth was gathered up by the individual who took care of him. And she began to carry him out of the palace, out of the house of his father and the house of his grandfather. And the Bible says that she picks him up and she begins to flee because she was afraid of what would happen to him. And so here she goes as she begins to take off out of the house of Saul and out of the house of Jonathan. And somewhere on the journey, the Bible tells us that as she's carrying this little child, that somewhere on the journey that she trips and she falls and she drops Mephibosheth to the ground. And something happens to Mephibosheth that day where he was, where before this, you see, he was just like any other child. He was just like anybody else. There wasn't anything wrong with him. As a matter of fact, he was born into the highest priesthood. He was the son of a prince and the grandson of a king by all right, and just by who he simply was. One day, as a matter of fact, he was destined to be the king over all of Israel. And the Bible says that when his nurse picks him up and she carries him out of the house, that she drops him. Not because of what he had done, not because of what had happened to him, but simply by circumstance, he's taken out of his home. He leaves everything that he had ever known. His entire life totally changed in an instance. And he's dropped where he is. And the Bible says that when he's dropped, he becomes lame of his feet. And you see, from this point forward, he had something about him that no matter when they talked about Mephibosheth, they never just called him by who he was, but rather they said, Jonathan has a son. And they could have said Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, but what you hear in the scripture is that Jonathan has a son who is lame of his feet. He was not known by who he was, but he was known by something that had happened to him, not because he brought it upon himself, but he was simply here because of circumstance. Now, we believe in a God that positions us and he poises us, that he can work in our lives. But in order to understand the way that God works, sometimes we are positioned through problem. And sometimes God poises us for a miracle through something that we did not ask for. And the fact of the matter is, God has a way of birthing something inside of a child of God, not from something that's always great, but sometimes it's birth from pain, and it's birth from suffering, and it's birth from things that we don't ask of ourselves, and we didn't even bring on ourselves, but it's just because of life, just because of circumstance. And Mephibosheth finds himself out of the house of his father, out of the house of his grandfather, and in the house of a stranger. But what the Bible tells us and what we see is that it was in Lodabar that Mephibosheth goes into the house of someone else. And he puts up walls all around him, and he finds somebody to put his arm around him and say, "Oh, Mephibosheth, don't worry about going back to the house of your father, because I built a home for you here in Lodabar. And I built a home for you, and I built a place for you, Mephibosheth. And Israel's not your home anymore, but Lodabar is your home." So quickly, he forgets where he came from. He forgets what the Lord had done for his grandfather and what the Lord had done for his father. He forgets that he is the heir to a throne, Pastor. And he finds himself living just like anybody else in the house of Lodabar. And the Bible says that David calls and he says, "Is there anybody left in the house of Saul that I could just show him kindness?" And a servant says, yes, there is one person left, and he's a man that's lame of his feet. And he says, "Well, who is he?" And he said, "He is Mephibosheth, and he's found in the house of Lodabar." And David says, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to send to the house of Lodabar, and I want you to invite Mephibosheth to come and to sit at my table." And so the Bible says that they send for him, and that Mephibosheth comes to the house of David. And it says that when he came in, that he fell on his face and he did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Yes, David, behold thy servant." You see, what you must understand is that by rightful heir, it should have been Mephibosheth sitting in the seat that David was in. But he'd been in the house of Lodabar for so long that he had forgotten who he was. He had forgotten where he came from. And when David called on Mephibosheth, he didn't say, "Yes, David." He didn't say, "Here I am." He said, "Behold thy servant." And David said, "Mephibosheth, don't be afraid, because I just want to show you kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake." But David doesn't stop there, because what David says, he said, "And what I want to do for you, Mephibosheth, is I want to restore unto you everything that belonged to your father. And I want to restore to you everything that belonged to your grandfather. And not just that, but I don't just want to restore it unto you. But Mephibosheth, I want you to understand that you have not been misplaced from your home any longer. But I want to give you a seat at the king's table. I want you to dwell with me, and I want you to eat with me." And Mephibosheth bowed himself and he said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" He forgot where he came from. He forgot what was in his bloodline. He forgot where he grew up. He forgot what his rightful place was. And the issue was this, is that when David looked at Mephibosheth, he saw the grandson of a king and the son of a prince. But when Mephibosheth looked at himself, he saw a dead dog. He saw someone that wasn't worthy. He saw someone that wasn't any better than anybody else. But there was something that happened that David said, "Mephibosheth, you need to understand not how you look at yourself, but how I look at you." You see, I had an elder come to me one time and he said, "Son, if I could ever give you a gift, it would be for you to see yourself through the eyes of God." I didn't understand what that meant, but when I was reading this scripture, the words of this elder came back to me. And he said the issue was that Mephibosheth had to be able to see who he was through the eyes of a king. You see, I've come here to preach to someone that through circumstance and through difficulty, you found yourself living outside of where God had for you. And you've been dwelling in a location where you have found yourself and you feel at home. And you feel like you belong here. But the word of a king has come forward today and he said, "I am desiring to bring you out of Lodabar and to bring you back into the palace." But the issue is this, is that you have a word from the king and you come from the right place and you have a promise from him that he wants to restore everything back to you. But the problem is that you can't get past in your own brain who you are. And so the issue with this is that God speaks and he says, I want to restore something to you. I want to do something special in your life. But the problem is this, is until we are able to see ourselves, not through how we view ourselves, but until we're able to see ourselves through the eyes of God, we can never live in the fruition of the promises that God has had for us. What am I preaching about this morning? This is what I'm saying, that God has given somebody in this sanctuary a promise of restoration. God's given somebody in this house a promise that he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wants to bring you out of the house of Lodabar, and he wants to bring you back into the king's table. But the issue is you're saying, David, I know that you want to restore me, but who am I? Who am I? I'm nothing but a dead dog. Why would you want to show me kindness? Why would you want to restore me? Why would you want to bring me? And David said, because if you could ever see who you are through the eyes of your king, you would understand that you're more than just somebody who had to leave their home. You're more than just a has-been. But Mephibosheth, by right, you are the son of a king. You're the grandson of a king. And what I want to do for you today, Mephibosheth, is I want to restore to you everything that you lost. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. He said, Mephibosheth, I want to restore something to you. But Mephibosheth, but the issue is this. He said, I'm nobody, David. I used to be the grandson of a king, but I'm not any longer. I used to be the son of a prince, but I'm not any longer. And all I am, all I have left, is I'm a dead dog that lives in the house of Lodabar. You see, Mephibosheth didn't understand something. That there's something about when a king puts his approval upon you. There's something about when you've once experienced the power of God and you walked away from it, or when you've seen God do something before, that there's something that becomes ingrained inside of you that you're never able to be the same again. I have something that I say each and every time I get up and I preach, that the worst thing that could happen would be for us to leave this place the same way that we came in. But every time that we gather together, that something ought to shift and something ought to change. And the fact of it is, Pastor Smith, is that while he might not have remembered everything from when he was a child, there was something ingrained in the DNA of Mephibosheth that he could move to Lodabar. He could think terribly of himself, but regardless, he was always had a place in the house of Israel. And the issue was he couldn't seem to get past his own mind what he was. But David said, Mephibosheth, I'm not concerned with how you view yourself. I'm concerned with how I view you. And you see, what Mephibosheth didn't understand is that from the time he was a child, that prayers had been prayed, things had been instilled in him. And you see, what he didn't know is that simply even by his name, let me tell you what the name Mephibosheth meant. The name Mephibosheth means to break all shame. And so the deal about God is that God works in reverse. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the ending and the beginning, the first and the last. But the thing about God is that God works backwards. And so when the Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega, what it's literally saying is he is the ending from the beginning, which means that before Mephibosheth ever got to where he was, God said, I've already worked a way out for you. But the issue is this, is that to Mephibosheth, his father was gone, his grandfather was gone, his home was gone. All of these terrible things had happened. And he's looking at his life and he's saying, I've been forgotten about. I've been forsaken. I've been walked away from. Surely there's no way that God's been working something out. But the issue is this, is that what Mephibosheth didn't understand is that everything that happened in his life happened on purpose. You see, there's people in this house today that you've dealt with hurt, you've dealt with pain, maybe you've dealt with sickness and suffering. And you've been asking yourself, you've been saying, Lord, have you forgotten about me? But the Lord has come here today and he's come to speak to someone that God has not forgotten about you, but rather God has positioned you through circumstance. I wish somebody would preach with me today. He said, I have positioned you through circumstance. Not anything that you understand, but the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. It says that we could never understand the way that he works because he works in reverse. But there's somebody in this place today. There's somebody in this place today that you've been asking yourself. You've been asking God, Lord, have you forgotten about me? Lord, do you see me because I'm in Lodabar? And the Lord has sent somebody here today to say, you've got to get past the way that you feel about yourself and understand that in the fiber of your DNA, Mephibosheth, who you are is you're not the one that you used to be. You're not the one that once was, but Mephibosheth, you are the one that ingrained in exactly who you are. Literally, if you could see yourself through the eyes of a king, if you understand why your daddy put that name on you, Mephibosheth, it was because he understood it wasn't always going to be easy. It wasn't always going to be good, but Mephibosheth, there was something inside of you that he said, when I put my hand upon you, when I put your name upon you, Mephibosheth, I said that I knew you were going to go through something. I knew that you were going to be lost and broken, but I gave you something. I gave you something that when you even said your own name, I gave you something that would remind you that who I am is I am the one that breaks all shame. I asked the Lord, I said, God, what do you want to do in Winnemac today? He said, I've sent a spirit of Mephibosheth into the house today, that somebody that's walked in here, you have felt like you couldn't be any lower than you are. You felt like God's walked out on you. You felt like that God can't forgive you. I want you to know God's not concerned with your yesterday. You could spend the rest of your life looking behind you. You could spend the rest of your life trying to fix everything that you've done. But God said, I'm not concerned with your past. I'm just concerned with your future. And the Bible says that when we repent of our sins and we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Smith, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is ours. And it says that when we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that the slate is wiped clean. And that God says, what I have given you, Mephibosheth, is I've given you the ability to break past your shame and to break past your guilt and to break past your sin. Because the fact of the matter is this, when God shows up, is there anything that's too big or is there anything that's too small? The last time I checked in my Bible, he wasn't just the provider, but he was the way maker. And the Bible says that he makes a way where there seems to be no way. And there's somebody in this house today that you felt broken and lost. And God has come here today to tell you that before you ever got where you are, he said, I've given you an expected end. Let me tell you what your expected end is. The Bible says that the promise of the Holy Ghost is to everybody, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I've come here today to preach to someone. You're not here by circumstance. You're not here by accident. But God has seen every step of your life. He's seen every problem, every difficulty, every failure, and every fault. And he said, I have ordained it. I have positioned it that you would be right here, right now, today on a Sunday. I've come to preach to someone. You're not here by accident. But God's saying, I am bringing you out of Lodabar. I've come to bring you out of Lodabar. I've come to break the shame off of you. I've come to give you a new name. You're not going to be from Lodabar anymore, but you're going to be the son of a king that dwells in the king's house. I just feel in the Holy Ghost right now, there is a restoring spirit of the Lord that's sweeping through this house right now. God is not concerned with what happened before right now. You've got to decide in your mind this morning that I'm not just turning my back from sin, but what I'm doing this morning is I'm saying, you know what? I know that God will forgive me, but that's not enough. I've got to forgive myself. And if I could forgive myself to get my place, to get to the point where I could come down to an altar and get baptized in Jesus' name. I'm so excited this morning because I've heard there was a few people that are getting baptized in Jesus' name. If that's you, why don't you just do this for me real quick? If you're getting baptized this morning, let me just preach to you just for a second. The Bible says that when you're baptized in Jesus' name, that the old man is buried and that a new man comes up out of the water. I've come here today to tell you that the slate is being wiped clean right now. I said the slate is being wiped clean today, and God's saying, I'm giving you a fresh start, a fresh touch, and a fresh anointing. But let me just tell you, the buck doesn't stop there, because the Bible says that when you start walking in the Holy Ghost, when you start walking in the Spirit, that everything begins to change. He's not just the way maker, but the Bible says He is the healer. He is the great physician. The Bible says by His stripes we're healed and by His blood we were bought. I've come here today to tell you, whatever you're carrying in your spirit today, whatever you walked into this house needing, God said, I've already covered it. I've already paid for it. I've already done it for you. And you know what? Maybe before today, maybe you found yourself doing things that you didn't think you would ever do. Being places that you would never be. Doing, living like you never thought that you would before. And you've come in here today and you're carrying a guilt on your shoulders. I want you to know right now, God's come here today to forgive you. He's come here today to restore you. And I prophesy it right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is just the beginning of revival, because God is doing a special miracle, a special thing, not just in this sanctuary, but in the city of Winnemac. And I've come here today to tell you that if you're in this building right now, you are now at the crux of it. You are now at the beginning of it, at the pinnacle of it, where God's saying, I'm about to take what's happening in the middle of a sanctuary in Winnemac right now. And the Bible says that it's going to be shouted from the highways and from the byways. I've come here today to tell you that what God is going to start doing in this place, people won't be able to argue with. They won't be able to deny His power. They won't be able to deny the glory of the Lord. And what we're going to experience today is this. If you need the Holy Ghost, you're going to get the Holy Ghost this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you need baptized in Jesus' name, there is no day like today. I don't know why I'm feeling this in the Holy Ghost right now, but let me just speak to someone. There is no high like the Most High God. I've come here today to preach to someone. You've been dealing with addiction in your life. You can't seem to break it. It seems like every time you get a victory, your son, that every time you start to break past it, that something begins to grasp you and to pull you back down into it. I've come here today to preach to someone that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I feel it right now in the Holy Ghost. Not only is God going to fill someone with the Holy Ghost, but God is about to deliver someone out of addiction this morning. The Holy Ghost is in this room. I wonder if you'd stand up to your feet right where you're at right now. We could keep on preaching. We could keep on doing it, but I feel faith in this house right where you are. Would you lift up your hands? Would you begin to lift up your voice right now? There's a gift of faith that's rising in this house right now. There's miracles, signs, and wonders happening. This is an Acts chapter 2 experience. The Bible said that they were gathered together in an upper room, and that the Spirit of the Lord begin to sweep through the house, and they all begin to speak with cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. We're all going to leave here filled or refilled with the Holy Ghost and fire this morning. Someone lift up your hands right where you're at, and this is what we're going to do together. We are going to repent of our sins. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you, if you want the Holy Ghost this morning, I want you to run out of your seat right now. I want you to come down to the altar. If you want the Holy Ghost this this morning. I want to tell you it's for everybody. I know there's at least one or two in here that need the Holy Ghost. We're going to keep preaching about it. I've come here today to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you. It'll do for you what a doctor can't do. There's someone in here, you've been dealing with depression. The only thing that's going to break your depression is the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Why don't we all just shut our eyes right now where we're at? If there's anybody in here you need filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't want you to be scared. I don't want you to be ashamed. As a matter of fact, why don't you ask somebody right now, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? Why don't you ask him? There comes one. She's going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. Why don't you ask somebody right now, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? He's going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. This is what I want you to do. I need every altar worker, every saint of God in this house. Why don't we all in this sanctuary come down together as a sign of unity from the front to the back, from the side to the side. God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost this morning. Pastor Smith is going to come. We're going to corporately repent of our sins. If you're praying, I want you to hang on for just a second. We're all going to repent of our sins together. Nobody can repent of your sins for you. And what you're saying when you do it is, I'm ready to turn away from sin. I'm ready to live a new life in Christ Jesus. And I'm ready to give it all to the Lord. Pastor Smith, could you come and could you lead us in a prayer of repentance?
In the name of Jesus, I want you to bow your heads, lift your hands right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you to reach down right now inside of my spirit, God. I'm asking you to purify my mind, my thoughts, everything within inside of me. God, I realize I've been walking the other direction. But right now, God, I'm asking you to take my life. I want to yield it into your presence, God. I want to become a new creature. I want to turn away from what I used to be. I want to be something different right now. Forgive me, O God. Purge me of me, O God. In Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name. Now, the Bible says that when you repent of your sins and you're baptized in Jesus' name, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is yours. And I know that there's some people in here that you're about to be baptized in Jesus' name. But let me tell you the way that the Holy Ghost operates. So what you've got to do is you've got to begin to clear everything out of your mind. And you need to begin to focus on, it's just you and the Lord right now. And the Bible says that when we lay hands on the sick, that they will recover. But not only that, but that when we begin to worship the Lord in advance, that the Holy Ghost begins to sweep through the room. And it's not anything that we understand when it begins to come out. But the Bible says that it's cloven tongues like as a fire. So if you need the Holy Ghost this morning, I just want you to lift up your hands real high. And if there's someone standing beside you right now, I want you to go and I want you to lay your hands on them. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. And when we do, I want you to begin to worship the Lord out loud with your mouth. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you've got nothing else to say, we're going to begin to magnify the Lord together. And the music is going to come help us right now. We're going to begin just to praise the Lord out loud. And when you begin to praise him, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you. Are you ready to receive the Holy Ghost this morning? Why don't we all lift our hands all over the sanctuary? Why don't you go lay your hands on somebody that's standing right beside you right now? Father, by the authority of your word, God, by the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we have repented of our sins. Lord, we've come here today to turn away from it. God, we've come here today to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, God, you said in your word that when we repent and we're baptized, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is ours. Now, God, we stand on the promises of your word. God, we speak, let the Holy Ghost begin to fall right now in the name of Jesus. God, let the Holy Ghost begin to fall right now in the name of Jesus. Now, if you need it, I want you just to begin to lift up your hands. We're going to begin to sing and to praise him. And I want you just to begin to worship the Lord out loud. And the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you this morning. Right now in the name of Jesus. To keep on praying. I want you to know that what the Lord's doing in this house today, sometimes God works in ways that are unexpected. And I feel like that for this church right here in Winnipeg, that we're on the brink of a mighty revival. But what the Lord wants to do is He wants to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost. But what He's going to do starting right now, starting today, what God's trying to put on this church is a change in your mind. Now what I want you to do is I want you to link up with someone right now. I want you just to lift up your hands to heaven. And I want to pray a prayer over this church. I want to pray a prayer of spiritual release. And I want to pray a prayer of a change of mindset all over this house today. Could you pray with me? Would you lift up your voice? Father, right now, God, we've gathered here together. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing. Lord, we thank you, God, for anyone that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. God, we thank you, God, for those that are going to be baptized. But God, I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, let there be a release in the Holy Ghost. God, let us have, God, a release in our families. God, a release in our mindsets. God, you are positioning us. God, and you promised us revival. Now, God, you're sitting us, God, on the brink of it, Jesus. Lord, and we thank you for it right now. God, we magnify you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we thank you for your word. God, and we thank you for your promises. God, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our families. God, and we're not leaving here today defeated. God, because we're not last, but we're first. God, and we're not behind, Lord, but we're ahead. Lord, we're the head and not the tail. God, I thank you today, Jesus. I magnify you, Lord, for what you're doing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're praying, I want you to keep on praying. And I just want to challenge you. If there's someone that you feel like you need to go pray for, just let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Let the Holy Ghost work through you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
God has restored here today. You're going to go out of here with different desires. You're going to go out of here with different mindsets, some different philosophies in your mind. What's important in life before when you walk out of here is going to be important in a different way when you leave this place. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Can we receive the prophetic word? Can we receive the restoration word? Come on right now. I receive it in Jesus' name. Let it be done, God. Let it be done, God. There's always a confirmation. When there's a shout of triumph, the walls came down after the prophetic word and said, you walk around the walls just before they fall. There's going to be a shout. Can we lift a shout all across this place? Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise be to your name. Praise be to your name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to be baptized elsewhere. Some of you are going to be baptized here. The one later is going to be a private baptism. But we're going to baptize two here today, right here in the tank. As soon as the water level drops down just a little bit, you know what? I told our usher, I said, don't feel bad. Pastor overflowed about 6 months ago. It's easy to turn it on and forget about it. Amen. But it's all right because you know what? I'll take an overflowing baptismal tank if we're going to baptize some people in Jesus' Amen. Name. I'll trade that any day. I'll clean up a little water if God can clean up a soul. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And give us just a few minutes. It won't take long to get down. I guess the floor is already wet. If I could get Brother Payne, if you could take Sean over, show him where the baptismal gowns are. And then you probably get both baptismal gowns and give one to, you're going to get baptized as well. Give her one also. How many is excited for these two young people going to get baptized in Jesus' name? I'm just crazy enough to believe he'd come out of that water healed. How about you? Come on now. I'm just crazy enough he could come out of that water healed in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can you lead us in a song and worship here while they're preparing that? And we're going to baptize them in Jesus' name just in a few moments. I would like to say what a special treat it was to have Brother Jordan back with us. Didn't he do a wonderful job? Amen. And I will tell you, he doesn't know this church. He's in Frankfort, and he's spoken to your lives today. He don't know you from Adam, and he spoke into your lives today, and it's right. If you'll receive it, you'll go away with what he spoke into your life, because it wasn't him, it was the Spirit of God trying to get into your world and give you a little confidence that God can still use you. Amen. God can still use you. He ain't done with you yet. Amen. As they say, the story ain't over, because he's writing a book and he controls the ending. Amen. He can put whatever ending he wants. You just got to let him finish the story. Amen. Amen. He's thankful we have an elder in the church. Amen. 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 He's recovering, and we love him very much. I also would like to say, and I failed to, and I apologize. It's good to have Sister Jordan with us here. They were married just not too awful long ago, 1 month ago, and now his ministry is complete. Amen. I think he preached better now, don't you? I think he preaches better. Amen. Not that he preached bad before, but now he's just whole. Amen. And we are so excited. Whichever. I think it's the back. Yeah, that'd be all right. Whichever way. It don't matter. Just get him in that thing. It don't matter. Amen. We got one more going to get baptized in Jesus' name. Looks like anybody else need to be baptized.
Amen.
This is your day. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to baptize one more. If you need to go, you can go. But I think it'd be all right if we just stuck around and watched the celebration. Amen. And just rejoice together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Which one?
What was that song we first started out with today?
Jesus, I love you.
There you go. Jesus, I love you. Because you care. Baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been waiting for this day, and it's come to pass right before your very eyes. Amen. God is good. Can we lift our hands towards heaven and rejoice as he makes his way towards this baptismal tank? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just hang on to that side.
Yeah.
we sing that song one more time? We got time. We're going to baptize one more. They got to trade off a gown. I don't even have enough gowns in this place. Amen. That's called revival. Amen. 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 Jesus, I love you because you care.